Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is a sick episode and the first for Toys on Tap, where we bring on people that haven't created their first toy yet, but are hoping to do so in 6 to 12 months. The guys from the Toy Monster podcast come on this week, tell us about their art, tell us about their art journey, and get us excited about the toy that they want to create. If you want to jump on and support Toys on Tap, you can do it on all socials at Toys on Tap. If you want to like, subscribe, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. And lastly, you can jump on the Patreon, patreon.com/toysontap. That's where you're going to find all the goodies and all the stuff that you need that's extra for the pod. Now let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. I'm pumped to have you guys on. We're going to talk toys. This is the other half of the podcast that we just did.
Yeah.
I asked for your address today because I'm going to jumpstart your soft vinyl collection and send you guys a package.
Oh. Hell yeah, dude.
I have pieces that are looking for good homes that they're, hopefully you love them.
Oh, we most definitely will.
I can show them now. Well, you just get them. You'll get them.
All right.
This is the other cool side of toys, supporting Kickstarters and stuff, but like there is a toy that came out called Dr. Malgum's body bags, and each one of them comes in a little zipper body bag with a toe tag on it.
Yes.
Cool thing. What they are is it's like a bag of mixed figures, and it's interchangeable parts that slip out. And then you can put other parts in there. And it's like, I got the biggest one and it's like all kinds of crazy. Dude, toys are nuts. It's wild.
Never get sick of them, dude. Ever.
Yeah, it's wild. And I just went to another one and picked up. My wife is just a gracious human. This wild. Hey, I'm pumped to have you guys on. Before we do anything, please introduce yourselves. Tell us who you are, what you do.
Oh, I'm Nick. I own Heartless and Hopeless Tattoo in Springfield, Oregon.
I'm Chris. I work with Nick.
He's across the room over here.
I've been tattooing for 17 years. Nick's been at it for,
22?
Yeah, 22.
Yeah.
And we're just tattooing nerds, man.
I'm covered. It got crazy amounts.
There's lots of space. You got lots of space.
Dude, I have a whole... I have a whole toy leg ready for you.
Hell yeah, dude. You just get up here. We'll make it happen.
Okay. I'm pumped because you guys have expressed interest in starting to make toys.
Always, dude.
That's like you now, before you even made one toy, we get to jump on that toy journey and kind of talk toys today. So walk me back. I don't know who's starting. Walk me back to childhood. Tell me the toys you had, the shows you're watching, the cereal you're eating.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, a lot of it started when I was very little. My dad's a huge nerd, and he was in the Navy for a little bit. Well, for a long bit, actually. And he would send me toys from like South Korea and these places that he was stationed. A lot of the times it's Ninja Turtles. And it was always turtles that weren't in the States yet. And so I got to take them to school and show them to my friends and, be like, dad, look what I got, And since then, I mean, I've been totally collecting. My dad was super into it, and that got me into it. And one thing in particular was when he gave me this shoebox, and it had his old G1 and G2 Bumblebee, Cliff Jumper, and Sea Spray.
Yeah,
yeah, and it had a bunch of other stuff in it, like Zack the Neutrino. Was in there. That was one of my favorite toys. Anyways, this shoebox was special to him. It was with him on the ship. And he gave that to me. I still have the shoebox itself. And those toys are sitting on my dresser. And since then, I've just, been collecting ever since. And he does too,
Yeah, having Christmas around is bad, dude.
Oh, yeah.
It's bad.
You just feed each other's addictions.
It's bad. He was over there working the other day. It was like yesterday. I'm like, yeah, I'll be right back. I got to run to the video game store. And I ended up going to an antique store and coming back with a bunch of garbage I don't need.
It's not garbage you don't need. It's garbage that doesn't have a place yet.
No, it was everything I needed.
All right, Nick, tell me growing up, toys, all that stuff.
1980s, dude. He-Man, Thundercats, and Smurfs.
Smurfs.
That's all I cared about as a kid. I'd sit around watching cartoons, eating cereal, and playing with my toys. That's like literally, that's all that matters. That's all I did.
I think that like the hard part about people that don't make toys, and so when they look at us now and they're like, oh, you still play with toys, or you do whatever, telling them that like when I hold a toy that I had as a kid, it's not the toy. It's like I could tell you my room. I could tell you what everything looked like around me. It's a moment.
What up, toy nerds? This is Ray.
And Dave. Go check out our brand new YouTube channel, The Toy Rats.
We make toys.
We talk about toys.
We talk about old toys.
And new toys.
And toys that we make.
And we're just a bunch of goofballs. It's a good time.
We make fun of Dave a lot.
I'm all right with that. So, if you get a chance, go check out Toy Rats on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. You might be.
Yeah, you could. Who knows?
You got to check it out.
Toy Rats. Toy Rats. YouTube.
Bye.
And so when people are like, oh, you collect toys. Like I work with teenagers, so they're stupid. They make fun of me all the time. It's whatever. but they, like I drove up to LA and they were like, oh, is it for a toy thing? And I was like, first of all, watch your mouth. Second of all, it is.
We get that in the shop, dude.
Yeah.
The other two guys are probably just like, I'm so sick of hearing you guys talk about this shit.
Oh, yeah.
That's rad. So, I mean, we're going to eventually get to the point where you guys want to make toys and like that stuff. Yeah. You guys, I'm assuming both kind of take a hiatus from toys, getting older and figuring out art stuff and like what that looks like for your life.
Not really.
No.
That's great.
No.
Not really at all, dude. Between the toys and the VHS tapes and the movies, it never stopped.
Not taking a break. You're one of the lucky few. Most of us, toys.
There was a break at some point.
Yeah. It's like you either discover that you are attracted to a certain type of person or they're skateboarding or comics or something.
Yeah. There was like a teenager started skating, eventually broke my arm, and doctor's like, you want to keep drawing? Stop skateboarding.
Dude, I'm like, which
shit.
It is what it is. I mean, I think that's the thing. So if it didn't really like happen that way, tell me like when it did kick over and when the toys kind of faded out just a little bit.
Toys faded out a little bit when I needed an open shop with somebody. So yeah. I had a friend, I had this friend that I was working with and she lost her job. She got in a fight with the guy in the shop. She got a fucking shit cannon fired. And that same day, I had another buddy hit me up and he goes, I lost my shop because the lady didn't know I was tattooing her building. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to open up a shop for you guys. And I sold everything in my house.
What is the most expensive toy you sold to help fund this?
I couldn't even tell you, man. Like, I literally sold everything in my house. I had a couch and a TV left. That's it. It was wild.
Everything in me. Like, I love people. There's some people that I love and I would kill for.
Yeah.
But if they said sell all the stuff, I'd be like, oof.
I did it strictly out of necessity. Yeah. I kept the VHS collection up.
Okay. So, Chris, when did the break kind of start for you? Like, I know you still have the toys from when you were little, but when did the like gap of like, I'm over this toy stuff?
Oh, it's never been a gap, man. It's always just been
unfair that you say that.
Yeah. That's any extra income I ever have, it just goes to toys, man. Like I right now, I told my wife this, so my goal is to match or meet the Guinness World Record for most Optimus Prime action figures,
which is,
I have no idea, I can't find a solid number.
Okay. Someone but just won the Ninja Turtle one.
I saw that.
Yeah, TMNT Collector just won.
What was
that.
The number on that?
It's like 2,300. It's like,
yeah, it's not a lot.
That's honestly not a lot at all.
Well, the issue is if you do man, what is it? It's like all duplicates don't get counted. So it's like he may have like 70 of one figure, only one counts.
Yeah. Do they count bootlegs?
Dude, I'm up there if they start counting bootlegs. That's right? All I got.
Well, see, here's where what inspired me was I saw a guy's collection, and I think he had the record, right? And I think it was somewhere around there, like 2200, right? But I was looking at his collection, and I'm like, oh, that's Ultra Magnus. That's Ultra Magnus. A shit ton of Ultra Magnus, not Optimus Prime. I'm going for just Optimus Prime. Red and blue, Optimus Prime.
I mean, what number are we kind of at now?
Easily probably like 1,000, probably. And that's low estimate, right? So I'm pushing. I got to count.
Your wife is such a generous person. Like, that's crazy. There's not a chance I could convince anyone to say like, hey, let me fill this with 1,000 of one thing. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
That doesn't include all the other stuff he's got stashed in there.
Oh, God. Yeah. Because my He-Man collection is almost as big.
And then he comes in and gives me stuff during the day. He's like, hey, I brought you this. I found it.
When people say that phrase right there, it's like, I found it. How do you just come across things? You just found, like, your collection is so vast that you found it. Yeah.
Because I've been collecting for so long, it just goes up in the attic.
This is what he found and just gave to me.
What's crazy is that's giant. So that was hidden somewhere.
It was in my dragon's hoard.
How freaking funny. So we, at some point for both of you, art has to kick in. Because you're both tattoo artists. Yeah. A friend of mine who is now a tattoo artist that he, like, unbeknownst to me, when I wasn't in art and we were both in high school, I hated art because we were like, they were like, oh, draw the human eye. I don't want to. That's not what I'm here for.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it, but he was like making stencils and stenciling graffiti around the town and never brought me into it. And so tell me when art creeps in. I mean, we could all say like, oh, we just have always loved drawing and stuff. But when do you start to notice like this is it?
About 6 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. It hasn't stopped. The minute I picked up a crayon, it was over.
Yeah. You're like, I can't wait to do this to a body one day.
It wasn't even that wasn't the tattoo part, but just drawing in general.
Yeah.
I literally have stacks of drawings of the monsters I drew when I was like 7.
Dude.
Does his monsters nonstop.
Insane.
Yeah. Chris? Yeah, for me, it was about the same. Like, probably around 6 or 7. And my dad, again, he was a great artist. And we shared that in common. So that got me inspired to do that. And I was drawing, like, Garfield all the time.
Yeah.
Like, Garfield, Precious Moments. You know Precious Moments?
Yep.
Yeah. That's borderline anime, right? So that, I was drawing those all the time because my mom loved those. And it just kept going. And then I got really dark and really weird in high school. And I look back on that and I'm like, maybe that's what turned me into a tattoo artist.
Okay. What was the thing that made you like dark and weird? Like what you were drawing? You moved from like Precious Moments to something else?
Right. Yeah. It was like zombies and all this like belty stuff, you know, like, and in high school, I was also like the trench coat, like steel toe boots, you know, like spike bracelets.
The weirdo.
The weird, yeah.
Dude, I never had one single art teacher that was worth a shit. Not one.
Yeah, shout out good art teachers because that's crazy.
Yeah, there are some out there, but I never had one.
Yeah, my art teacher, I saw that we had screen printing stuff in the side and I was like, oh, I want to do that. And she was like, mm-mm. Like, thanks.
That sucks. Yeah, she let me do all kinds of stuff, man. And I did get a lot of exposure to a lot of cool shit. One of the things that really got me into wanting to do toys was like, she let me start to sculpt.
Okay.
She's like, yeah, let's do this. So she got the stuff for it. Because I was like, I really want to do busts. Like I have this Bash the Stampede bust that really, really inspired me to want to do, you know, character busts and stuff like that. And, yeah, she got the stuff for it and she encouraged it, man. And I'm not very good at it, but it was fun.
Yeah. art for you. You didn't have a good art teacher. So how are you figuring out your art skills along the way?
Meeting artists out in the street while I was painting graffiti.
Yeah, in like whatever Krylon paint you could get.
Whatever I could get my hands on, dude. And then, oh man, that's a tough one. I probably learned more stuff in tattoo shops working around artists than I've ever had in school. Ever.
It's insane. I always used to like get weirded out. When you're being tattooed, it's like the artists of the shop kind of like come look over and they're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then I learned, they're learning.
We're professional apprentices.
It's like, it's so wild to see that. So, I mean, you don't pick that up and you don't really learn, like you're doing it on graffiti, which is crazy. I mean, Chris picks up clay and stuff.
Yep.
At some point, do you also do that?
I did off and on in school, but never really bit me hard enough.
Okay.
And then I just kept painting. And then eventually I ended up having a baby and had to stop. I'm like, I can't be going to jail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jail's not an option. It's time to mellow out.
All right. So that means we graduate high school for both of you. Are we just jumping right into like, how do I become a tattooer? Or are we like, let's take a little break and figure life out.
I decided I want to be a tattooer. And I walked in and told my boss, and he's like, yeah, man, do what you got to do. I went outside to smoke a cigarette, and I never came back.
You never came back? And then is that when you just, like, picked up some kind of...
Yeah, I went and got an apprenticeship.
Okay.
Started building needles and scrubbing floors and answering phones and being there 7 days a week for, like, a year.
My dream, this is the ideal job, and I've told... My best friend wants me to move back to Fresno, California, where he tattoos. I'll be the shop wench. Like, I'll take the calls. I'll do the booking. It's fine. Just pay me.
That's awesome, man. I don't think anybody knows how to do that anymore.
Dude, yeah. I'm not going to tattoo someone. I'll just take all the shit work.
Yeah. We don't even have a counter kit here.
Ah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
We just do it all ourselves. So there's no point.
Yeah.
No point.
Chris, when did you first step into tattooing?
Mine was more a circumstantial situation. I got laid off from a job I was at the point. I worked for Hynix here in Springfield. We were making computer chips, and I put 5 years in there. And at that point in my, you know, working career, and got laid off. And at the point, I was talking to one of the local tattoo shops about doing an apprenticeship. And but I told him, I was like, look, I'm working 12 hours, days, 7 days a week. So we put it on the hold. Shortly after that happened, though, I got laid off. And then I qualified for some government assistance to pay for the schooling and became a tattooer. I worked at the theater, which was a lot of fun. And I worked for Sony. And I worked at screen printing machines at Sony. And so still, like, you know, kind of nerdy, kind of artsy. Always fun.
I mean, the dream, like, to be able to do nerdy stuff that's fun and pays the bills.
Oh, dude.
The second that Toys on Tap pays my bills, everyone will know.
Heaven, dude.
Yeah, hey, everyone will know. Yeah. At what point, so you guys are in shops, at what point do you two meet?
Like, we met at a shitty mall shop, dude.
Yeah.
Worst place I've ever worked.
Like tattoo mall shop.
Yeah.
I cannot, like, when those started popping up, I've never rooted for a business to fail so quickly.
It was so fucking awful.
I don't know what people were thinking to do. Like, let's put tattoo shops in a mall. No.
And he ended up setting me next to Chris. I've never met him before. Okay. And we started bitching about the guy because he's such a shitty owner. And we've been friends ever since. That was like, I don't even know, dude, 15 years ago.
Nothing better than meeting a good friend because you're both complaining about the same person.
Yeah. And we would, like, nothing would be going on in the shop. So we would walk across the streets of Toys R Us.
Yeah.
And hang out there for hours.
What year are we talking? Because you just said Toys R Us. So that's
2014, 15? Nah, I can't be that long.
Before that. Yeah. 2008 or 9.
Yeah, 8 or 9.
Just so we're clear, I was still in high school.
I'm an old man, dude. I'm 45, dude.
Yeah, don't do that to us, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, so you guys meet. The love of toys is there. All that stuff. That's not the shop you stay at, though.
No. We went to another mall shop.
Both of you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the same guy. He moved to the other fucking mall.
Geez, how do we get to this shop right here? And tell me about this shop.
This one right here is called Heartless and Hopeless.
Okay.
So, same name as the other shop that I opened before. I had a really shitty landlord at the other spot, and we ended up leaving.
Okay.
Because he just wouldn't take care of the building. And then my business partner passed away like 5 months after we opened it. And whole shit storm for 2 years. And my kid got sick, and I'm like, fuck this, I'm out. Took a few months off to hang out with her. And then COVID hit when I was working up in Portland. And I was tattooed all the way through it.
Yeah.
And then the barbershop guys got a hold of me, and they're like, hey, there's a building up and down. You should come back down here. So we opened back up right in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
And then Chris just came back here like, what, 6 months ago?
Yeah. Yeah. I was working for another shop on the other end of what's called Main Street here, which is like the main street.
Really?
And I worked there for, yeah. Go figure, right? I worked there for about 11 years, and I've been trying to get with Nick for a very long time. Cause like I said, when he taught me how to tattoo. Like, I did my school, but anything practical that I know is because of him.
Oh,
yeah. This is cute. This is a cute moment. What is crazy? I mean, if we center on the COVID thing, I remember hearing my best friend's voice, cause we would talk every morning. Because I was off work, he was off work, and it was like anything that was like tattooing was gone. Everything was gone. When people were like, oh, we're going to tattoo in people's houses, and there was this group that was upset about it, you've never had your entire industry just disappear. Yeah. So you don't get to be upset when artists need to create and go get money and all those things.
Oh, I was sitting in houses doing like parties on people. There were like 20, 25 people there.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. And you survived COVID because of that. Yep. So like when people, I just don't, that was
land pirates, dude.
That's crazy. That's so crazy.
Fucking land pirates.
Dude.
Well, the way that Nick handled it too is very classic tattoo, right? Like, we are punk rock and we always will be. You have to do that. You have to keep it alive. You know, you can't let the government come in and tell you what you can and can't do.
If they came in and shut us down tomorrow, I'd be tattooing tomorrow night. Woo. This is like an obsession, dude. It's not just a job.
So fast forward, you're both at the same shop. Somehow you both figure out like, we love toys. We want to talk about toys and nostalgia. Yep. Tell me about Toy Monster Podcast.
Well, I started another podcast with a bunch of buddies.
Okay.
And it was called Retro Renegades.
Okay.
And it's just five guys that can't keep their fucking mouth shut, just talking over each other.
Yep. So that, you know, that was, you tough.
Know, it's like sitting on a porch drinking beer with all your friends.
Yeah.
And one of us disappeared and the other one wanted to do something else. I'm like, fuck this. I'm doing this with Chris.
Okay.
And here we are. We're just rocking and rolling every Friday.
Yeah. Chris, did he hold a gun up to you in order to do this or what?
Yeah, it was one of those ones that says bang when you pulled it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Came out your ear.
Yeah.
How was the deciding process about what you were going to even talk about on the podcast?
Oh, it was simple. Very, very simple.
Yeah, we talk about that all day anyway.
Okay. Yeah, Nick came to me about that. He's just like, hey, I want to do this. We sit here and bullshit all day long. We should record it. I was like, yeah, man, let's do it.
Okay.
That's super fun, dude.
That's rad. That's rad. And then somewhere in there, like, this is the part where we get to kind of talk my realm now.
Yeah.
Like, there's this decision to want to make a toy and talk toys and all that stuff. We get on and we did the episode with you guys and we talked all kinds of stuff with toys and stuff. What's the fascination with wanting to make a toy?
It's been a fascination my entire life.
Yeah. What about the process and that? Is it just because like you grew up and this was just such a big piece, or is there it's like the biggest penultimate, like, this is art. Like, where are we at?
Sure. I'm called art. I've really gotten into vinyl toys like the last like 2 years.
Yeah.
I'd say it's a combination, right? Like, where not only as artists are we really interested in doing it, you know, it's a next step or just another, you know, art form to explore, but also for people like Nick and I, you know, where we revel in nostalgia, we get to help. It helps us keep it alive. Like, we get to physically create these things that are based in that love, based in that nostalgia, you know, like Nick was talking about doing his Mickey Mouse thing, you know, like we were talking about. And it's because he loves that old Mickey stuff, you know, like we need to keep all that stuff alive. Whereas like some of the stuff does seem to be moving too far out of the realm of what we know and love. Right. Yeah. So I think that's part of the cool thing about doing anything custom, you know.
Kind of heads right back to tattoos. Like, I build tattoo machines when I'm not here at the shop. Many people don't use tattoo machines anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. They use the cordless, like,
dildo machines, that's what we call them. Vibrate kids.
Yeah.
Ooh. See that shit right there. I tease them about that shit every fucking day.
Hey, like, it's what okay.
What color is your purse, Chris?
Oh geez, I get mine tattooed. Most of the artists that tattoo on me use that. I haven't seen a tattoo machine in so long.
I build those things all the time.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? You begin to miss when those started like fading out. The new, like the cordless stuff, is so quiet. So now, if I wasn't a talker with the old tattoo machines, it was so loud it didn't matter. Yeah, and now I have to talk to someone.
I'll be sitting here, I'll yell across the shop and be like, are you even working over there? I'll have to go over there and see if he's actually working.
So I, with this process of wanting to make a toy and really wanting to keep like your podcast and everything, is to keep the old alive. Yes. So
yeah,
you want to do this. So much of your work is kinetic. It's all with your hands and drawing and all those things. Let's talk about, have you sculpted or tried to sculpt an idea from
clay? I have.
Okay. Tell me about that.
I was just taking shit off the walls, dude, and I just tried to sculpt them on Nomad.
Yeah.
And that program it's fun, but holy shit. Trying to figure that thing out is just, I don't know if my brain doesn't function like that, but it's wild.
It's the most intuitive of the sculpting programs. Yeah. It still doesn't mean it's easy. I think that people need to hear that. Like,
yeah, I wasn't expecting it to be easy, but I'm like, holy shit, this is like a little bit rougher than I expected.
Yeah, there's a reason I hire out artists because there's no way I'm going to pick up that skill. Chris, I mean, you did sculpt originally. Yeah. So, I mean, now that you've done that, have you tried sculpting a toy or something like that?
I made one successful like little action figure type dude, right?
Tell me about it.
I went and bought some bake clay or whatever you bake in the oven. I made the little wire frame, you know, I made the
armature
skeleton.
Yeah.
I got serious about it. And then, you know, just started building up. I made a little chibi solid snake from Metal Gear. And then baked him. Everything turned out fine. A little rough on the sculpt, right? Because I'm not really used to doing that.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this. Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet.
Oh my! We're doomed! Wait! Salvation! Hooray! We're saved, DOV2! Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
But I painted it up and turned out really good. And I actually ended up selling it. And I regret that because I miss him.
I mean, so you sold it. So someone saw it and was pumped, which... That feeling, it's unfair. Like, you guys get to have that feeling all the time with like, you do is sell your art all day, every day.
Yep.
And so for a toy maker, getting that first piece that sells is like, I don't know how to describe it. I've been chasing that dragon every day. Like, now these Kickstarters that fund, it's cool, but it doesn't have the same feel that when someone bought my first toy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to chase it so much.
Yep. What was your first toy?
Dude. Okay. Don't Let's judge. Flip. Don't
Why would we judge?
Yeah. It is We're wild. And I still know, like, my best friend bought it. So it's not even like, it was a, I didn't know how to design backers yet. Like the backer card. I didn't know how to do anything. And so I was really trying. I kind of like limped my way into it. And I read a news. It was when the I just watched Blackfish, the documentary. And so I was like, oh, this is kind of weird. And so in 2020, I just watched it, or 2021, something like that. Just watched it. And I was like, this, let's try to make something. Dude, I cut the arm off of a Polly Pocket and like painted the edge red and then threw an orca in there. And was like, this is the person that died.
Fuck yeah.
And like, the backer is just the news article. And it doesn't, I don't even have a toy name at the time. So it just says Abe Musto. Like, it's so weird and awful. And I keep trying to like take it back and remake it and all that stuff. But no, yeah, that was the first toy that kind of ignited everything. I didn't even
make it. Well, it all starts somewhere, right?
Yeah. Didn't even make a toy. I like altered one and just threw another one in there. Yeah. But yeah, that's where I still don't sculpt or any of that stuff.
Chris has Flash hanging on the wall of his house that I painted a billion years ago. I'm sure that shit looks like ass too.
Now I love it.
See, that's, this dynamic is how me and my friend talk. I'm like, oh, that looks like crap. And he's like, nope, yeah, I love nope. it.
Perfect. But then you see all this, like I painted all this and it just gets better and better every time I paint it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Like, I'm getting ready to repaint this whole wall here in like the next couple months.
Jeez. So yeah, the desire to make the toys there, both artistic, both all that stuff. I don't know. I mean, we can talk the ideas. What's the goal? I've heard about the Mickey Godzilla.
I'm kind of over it. I tried sketching that thing the other day and I'm like, this is stupid.
Well, see, now I want to sketch it.
Chris has awesome fucking ideas. All that shit behind him could make amazing toys.
Yeah.
Like, I have a Zelda one that's hanging on my wall. That thing is amazing.
Yeah, these are my lucky cats.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so here's like, what's the, because I'm always in, I mean, we're in a weird economic spot right now. Like, I know that the tattoo industry is kind of taking a hit a little bit. Toys are taking a hit. I think that those are probably like, because they're both vanity things. When one goes down, the other one's following. Yeah.
But nostalgia is also on the rise.
Hello. Hello. Yep. Someone's going to ask for assistance from the government and pay me to get a toy. It's wild.
There you go.
I am interested. So what's the thing? What's the thing we want to sculpt? What's the thing that you want to make to keep nostalgia and toys alive? Where are we headed?
I think that's honestly a hard question at this point, because we just started delving into how we can do it. Right.
Yeah. I got a million ideas.
Right. Well, Nick's got a shit ton of ideas. For me, I slow walk that stuff until I know exactly how, like, logistically it's going to work. And then I'm like, okay, cool. Well, then I can work within the confines of that. And then I can start flowing the ideas out.
Yeah.
Kind of in the same way that we create a tattoo. It's like, okay, well, do you want it on your arm? Do you want it on your back? You know, I need to know where it's going to go. Then I can start to design it. You know, okay. So for me, that's where it's at. Nick, he's got like a billion, you know, fucking monster
ideas. I don't know how deep the water. Let's just dive in.
I mean, what's crazy is like kaiju monsters. They can be anything. Like, this is one I just picked up on Friday.
Oh, dude, beautiful.
It's,
dang.
I love stuff like that so much.
It's weird.
Exactly.
It belongs on the shelf. Yeah. And then this is one from Magitarius.
Yeah. I could.
Oh, I saw that somewhere. All day.
And it's like, they, it's crazy to think that, like, those are the things. But, like, so here's the crazy thing, that especially because you both have toys, find, like, if it's a crazy monster, find toys that kind of look like that or can fit it, cut them up, make like, there's something on my wall right here. It started out as like mix and match action figure pieces that I like cut up and put all together. And then I sent that prototype to a sculptor and said, help. And through talking through the ideas and working back and forth, they made it happen. It's a pricey process, but then it's like your work is done.
Yeah.
Everything's pricey when it comes to doing shit.
Dude, it's worth it. Honestly, to pay an artist to do it, it's worth it. I there's no nobler cause than to give an artist.
Yeah, money. I mean, once again, it's like buying a machine from another builder. You're going to pay fucking $600-$700 for a machine.
Yeah.
So why not take that money and have someone know what the fuck they're doing?
Exactly. Yeah. So that I think that's the step. And then it's like deciding. So like if you make it, what type of material are we talking?
I bounce back and forth between vinyl and Sufubi.
Okay. So like either like super hard. I have one.
I like the soft vinyl stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so the soft vinyl and dude, soft vinyl. I've just fallen in love. It's stupid at this point.
I wish I had that Yeti here that I scored the other day.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Hold on. A Yeti?
Wait. Dude, Toys R Us Yeti.
Yeah.
Like
Dad and Toys R Us. Dad and Toys R Us. When Chris and I worked at the mall, I found it in an antique store for like $20 the other day.
Why?
Yeah, he's like 16, 18 inches tall. And it used to be a bargain bin Toys R Us toy. Like he'd find it for like $4. And he was with some unicorn also. Like
Yeah.
That's wild.
We made up a story about the unicorn, called him Blow Pony.
Blow Pony. So I mean, that's because that's the thing. Like vinyl, both are like vinyl. I have vinyl toys that have been made, and those are like they're super tough. And they're like statue. I have a Ferb Zerker that was made like that.
That thing is fucking cool.
It's it's coming in soft vinyl eventually. It's just it's a pricey. Hey, let's dive into the details. Let's hear. I have them for you.
So
when
I got a couple of them.
When you want to make like action figures, you're in $20,000 to $30,000. That's like that's mold and materials and paint. You're in for so much money.
What's a run like that? Like how many you talking?
If you're lucky, the factory will look at you and have pity and say like, "Yeah, we'll do a small run." But I can tell you. Oh,
100 less than that,
maybe 150. Because a small run, I pitched a factory 800 figures, and that's deemed a small run to them. Because like if they produce, let's say Target goes to them, they produce 400,000. It's like, so within reason. But the smaller factories, that's why I've moved in creating to like soft vinyl, because a small run is 30. And so we can get 30 going anytime.
Are you looking at the same price point?
So that again, you have to like navigate that, right? If I'm selling action figures and I'm in, there's a guy like you guys know 9 to 5 Warriors.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's made so many different ones. He's into that however much money over the cost of molds, and then has to sell the volume to make that back. With soft vinyl, the mold is a lot cheaper, so I can sell less to make it back. So I don't have to have a crazy high price point unless a lot of work goes into it. I can kind of navigate it a lot easier because I can do smaller runs. I think that's the tough part too. So like,
what's that?
All right.
I can't remember who made these.
You got one in your hand right now?
Oh.
What the hell is that?
Remember these?
No.
They were like Valentine's ones, but I can't remember who fucking made them.
It looks like because he's holding a grenade, right?
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 3.75 inch or 1/18 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now functions. Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters. Empire Blisters.
It looks like they looked at Barnyard Commandos and were like, let's kind of.
I would love this shit. I love this shit.
That's right. I mean, that's what you love hits so many different demographics that would sell so well at a convention.
Yeah. I mean, my love for cartoons and tiny little figures.
Rat. So here we go.
And violence.
This is, I have that. Do you?
I did. Oh, no, never mind. I don't. I thought it was something else.
Oh, Bootleg Toy Co. Made It. Sick piece. $30. Right there. Great. Great price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Around the same size.
Yeah.
Over 100.
Is that because it's got color in it?
It's got so many different points of articulation. The spear comes out, like so many different things. It's actual Sifubi because it's made in Japan and not anywhere else. This and this, 80 each. Both unpainted, both. So it's like you're kind of navigating all different things, and there's not a, we don't have in toys, everyone's like, oh yeah, like you price too high or too low. We don't have a scale. No one does.
No.
And so it's like you price off of, just like in tattoos, like you charge a certain per hour.
Yep.
And it's based off of name, talent, everything. It's based off of, yeah. And they're paying for all the years that it took to get to this point.
Right.
Same thing in toys.
Cool.
Yeah. So if I encourage people to make toys, which at this point, because of where all the US garbage is, I'm like, get ready. If you make toys, that's on you. I love toys, but just be careful.
Damn. Yeah, I've gotten to the point where I almost bought a 3D printer and started trying to figure that shit out myself.
Dude, I have
make
people
molds
that,
and do it that way.
I have people that could like hook you up with how to figure out how to do it. They'll train you. Like, it's just like toys are so accessible at this point and they're so rad that I want to see more. I want to see what we can do.
All right. Well, just like you said, though, do you think that it's going to become, well, more unattainable because of the market conditions?
I think what we're about to see. So I've only been doing this and been in this scene for four and a half-ish years. And even in that small point, I've seen a lot of artists come in and fade out so quickly. And I think what we're about to see, because factories are so readily available now, it used to be really gatekeepy. And it was like, I don't know, that may be the wrong word. If you didn't do the work, you didn't find the factory is what it really is. And so now all these factories on Instagram are like, hey, you want to make a toy? And like really enticing us. And I think a lot of toy makers or new people that are moving into toys are going to end up doing it without doing the legwork to make sure that people want it. And they're going to get stuck with a lot of work and a lot of
fucking like, weird. I feel like I know an industry like that.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. This is why there's a guy that is a tattoo artist in Louisiana. Is that where New Orleans is?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah. And he makes the King Crawju.
I just saw that the other day. Shit's so good.
Yeah. It's insane. But you're navigating like how much shelf space do people have? How much are they going to pay for these pieces? All these things.
That thing's massive.
Yeah. But he's like, people buy it because he's done the work to make people like trust him and want it. And that piece is like, I think it's like 20 pieces. Like, and just so we're like a mold plate only holds so many pieces. So it's like you're paying all for the molds.
Well, that body's that alone's got to be like what, two or three pieces each.
Yeah. I mean, he has even the like things that come out of like the horns and stuff that come out of the head. Each one is individual. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I just watched someone put one together.
Slime House.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, I mean, with all that, like if you were like, hey, Chris, you want to make a bust? Easy. At this point, like that's like the easiest thing to make. You can make that at home with resin. If you can get it sculpted or if you sculpt it, that part's fine. It's when you start working with like other stuff that if you don't want to do the work, but you want to make the toy, just have it 3D printed so you're not stuck with thousands of dollars of debt.
Right.
Like, but if you're in it to win it and you want to do the legwork and all that stuff, make the toy. Like,
I'm to the point where I'm going to make like monsters in my pocket size stuff.
Yes.
Oh, speaking of which, You want to tell that little story that happened to us last night?
Well, I don't know if it's much of a story.
Let's do it. This is your episode.
Well, it's a good one, dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, you lost your shit.
I did. Speechless.
Well, yeah, my we were wrapping up the shop yesterday. My uncle stopped by. He's been, and I think we talked about this, you know, last time we talked, but he's been going through my grandpa's storage shed, and it's just full of toys. That's for whatever reason, that's all that's in there. It's just toys. So we're in here. He brings all these boxes of stuff in here, and we're just dumping them out, you know, sorting through them. And Nick's just like, oh, I remember this one. I know what that is. Oh, shit, here's a Monsters in My Pocket. Here's like I've got Softhead Leo right here.
Okay, that's a weird flex, but that's a good flex.
Dude. Oh, there's another flex sitting up on that shelf right there.
Okay, what has he got? Cat Scratch?
Actually, before you show him that, why don't you show him what you bought last week first?
Oh, okay. Okay.
I love how your camera just follows you around. Mine doesn't.
Yeah, I don't understand how that's even, like, that's
new technology.
So, yeah, Visionaries.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. One of my
favorite figures ever. I want to try and figure out how to do holograms again, the way.
Killer Napkins. He does them.
Yeah.
Insane. Awesome. Yeah.
And then, so I bought that for way more than it's, well, it's listed as a dollar, and it was not a dollar.
Yeah.
And then just in one of those boxes, we find this guy. And so, yeah, there's just all kinds of cool shit in these boxes. Nick's losing his mind, you know, all these little, that we found a bunch of monsters.
There were muscle men and monsters in my pocket everywhere.
Army ants, what else? Like all kinds of a bunch of cool McDonald's and Burger King toys.
Yeah,
you know,
still in the plastic.
So
Transformers.
Geez.
Oh yeah, GoBot. G.I. Joe's out my ass. You know, like
yeah, just sitting in storage.
Yeah, just sitting in storage. Well, my uncle's got he's got the USS flag sitting in storage. He's got the Cobra Commander or the Cobra base, like the big Terror Dome, I think is what it was called, in storage. He's got the jets to go with the flag sitting in storage. And all this stuff he says I can have. So
I will
I
will fly to your shop and just bring a recording crew to record if you can get the USS flag in there as a staple of your shop.
Yeah, I'm going to have to bring it in here to build it because that thing's massive.
Like 8 feet or something like that.
Yeah.
Ugh. But
yeah, it's all sitting in there and he's slowly bringing it up to me, you know. If he's watching this, I love him to death. I love you.
It was too much to deal with last night. Like, I'm like, holy shit. We didn't even get to record last night because there was too much shit going on.
Yeah.
Jeez. So with all of that and the wanting to make toys and collecting toys and doing tattoos, give me a timeline. I mean, because you guys are usually I talk to artists that have either made one toy, like they've started the process or they're like well into it. Now you just have the desire to make it. And now you've met someone that can like point you in the direction.
Yeah.
Talk to me about timeline.
Winter's getting ready to hit. So I got all the time in the world to start designing shit. So
yeah, tattooing does slow down during the winter, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It didn't when COVID hit. Like when COVID hit, busy 4 years straight. Now we're back to normal.
Okay. Yeah.
Get to watch all these little kids freak out. It's pretty funny. And because they don't know what to do, man. They just don't. They're like, there's no money. It's like, dude, like, always remember December.
Yeah. there was money, but you just didn't plan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and part of the thing that, like, and what's cool thinking about, like, actually getting to make toys, you know, as another art form, of course, is as a tattooer, you always want to diversify. You can't put all your eggs in one basket because of what Nick said, you know. Sometimes things slow down and you know, like that's why I got my art prints. You know, we sell all kinds of you know, artworks all the time. We sell our services for other things, you know. Yeah. I know Nick's done some, you know, custom paintings and stuff.
6 months to a year
from this point.
Yeah,
see, the issue is this is being recorded, so now you have to.
Oh,
dude, if there's a timeline, I'm all about that shit.
Okay, perfect.
Ask Chris, like, I'll start something and I'm like, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah. I think the cool part about this as well is when you know, those Labubus, they got like popular and all that stuff, yeah. And people were tattooing them.
I just watched a thing about a guy doing that.
Yeah, I just found out.
He makes like $300 a piece for those things.
Yeah, I just dropped off. There's a guy that tattoos me in San Diego, and he collects and stuff. And I dropped off one of my shark figures. I was like, hey, I want to figure out if this it works with soft vinyl, like this type. It works so well. And so we're going to like release a tattooed run. So like you have the ability, like if you go soft vinyl route, you have the ability to tattoo it as well. I don't know anything about that. He took care of that part, but it's rad.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've seen people do like Cupid dolls and stuff, you know, which
are
similar.
Yeah. What is that? Pound of flesh?
No. I'm talking like actual.
Actuals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
They're kind of like soft vinyl. But yeah, Ian's got this like pound of flesh Cupid doll over here, which is really great. But it looks like Nick's going to grab him.
What's cool is like when people do Cupid dolls, that's like the original, like that type of doll is the original soft vinyl.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's 100%. It's dope.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Lots of tiny little needle stuff. Like, I watched him work on this thing for months.
Dude. And so, like, I think especially now, because you guys are tattoo artists, think through, like, if you make a toy, think through like, oh, the arm needs to be this big because I'm going to do these different tattoos on him.
Right.
Yeah. Which is insane.
I think that's the cool thing too, is like we get to bring that set of skills into a different, you know, art form. Like,
yeah.
We can drag our tattoo skills and everything we've learned from that and then create, you know, some sort of unique toy based on that and based on the nostalgia, you know, like and all that stuff. Yeah. And we'll make something special, man.
Okay, so 6 months to a year is this process. So you're really describing like how long a toy actually takes, by the way. So
yeah, totally looking 2 years.
Yeah, it's good to know that that's a thing.
That's okay.
Yeah, like full sculpt already done. I don't know. I put one in March, and it's about to ship to me Tuesday. So it takes some time because
like
you're
doing prototype.
No, like fully done.
Oh.
Yeah. So we, that's been a thing. But 6 months to a year is crazy. So I'm hoping that you guys rock it.
Well, like I said, like winter's getting ready to hit, so it might be earlier than that.
Yeah. And honestly, like the cool part, find the people, like there's so many people that want work or want to figure out how to sculpt a tool or like want to do that for you. So if you guys are looking for that, let me know. With all this and the 6 month, like here's the second half of that. What are we looking to collect in this? Like while we're designing the toy that we're about to release, what's the toys that we're now looking for? The grails that we want on our shelves.
Dang. That's a question.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've been looking at a whole lot of people online, like a lot of people that you host or been on your show. I'm probably gonna start buying shit from them.
Yeah, they're gonna love hearing that.
Yeah, like the minute I saw 9 to 5 Warriors, I bought one. Yeah,
dude,
I bought Queso Jones.
Yeah.
One of the greatest things ever, dude.
I just talked
to him actually. Mark.
Oh yeah, Mark's cool.
Yeah, because he listened to the podcast. He's like, tell me what you want to make.
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm talking about. And he's not just some like, he just sculpts a little bit. Some of the stuff he sends me, he's like, hey, check this out. It hasn't been released yet. Like, I don't know how to tell you. It's so, and he's like, I did this tonight when I had free time. You kidding me?
Damn.
Yeah. So, okay. So the grail, like those are the artists. Chris, you have an unfair advantage because apparently your uncle just pulls toys out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Tell me about your grails that you are trying to get.
Dude, I don't know if there's anything on the horizon at the moment. Like it's whatever is my catches my fancy. Like I was able to score a good deal on that Visionaries figure, and like that was one of them, right? Like because during COVID, I had to sell off a bunch of like really cool shit just to make ends meet, right? I had a good chunk of the Visionaries on card. I had a bunch of Silverhawks on card, bunch of Thundercats on card. I will not let my Transformers go. So I don't care if I'm living in a cardboard box.
I mean, you're trying to break a record. Now that's what's most important here.
Exactly. But yeah, there's probably some grails, you know, in the Transformers stuff, that I would have to think about, you know, because I have so much of that and I forget what's sitting there.
Yeah.
Like I was sending Nick pictures the other day as I'm like moving stuff in my bedroom. Like, I'm like, oh shit, I still have this. Oh shit. I found Mantana, on card in a nice plastic case, just sitting on my wall. I forgot he was back there.
Because he's got like 8 feet of fucking shit coming off his walls.
I mean, that's crazy. Look up Japanese toy stores or Japanese like Shifubi stores, and they're stacked like that. They're like, I want that figure. They're like, okay, let me move these 30 to get to that.
That's what my room looks like.
I'd love to get my hands on some Inhumanoids.
Okay.
Oh, Inhumanoid monsters. Oh,
I mean, all of this is doable with the largest sum of money.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's where we all get stuck. We start making toys and we're like, oh yeah, I have money to go buy toys.
Yeah. You can take that money and make more toys.
Yeah. It really is. If you can get it to the point where it's like self-funding, it's really fun, but then you realize like if it ever stops, it's over.
Yeah.
Like I get so nervous. I look at toys all day because I'm in my office right now, and it's like at any moment, if this stops, what then?
That's how it is with this job. And every time I turn around, Chris is just like, I'll just buy it, man. There'll be another tattoo tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
What?
I'm a good influence, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Horrible.
That's crazy. Okay, so here's the goal then. I mean, we're going to for sure talk off podcast. We're going to get you the sculptor lined up and figure out what you're going to make. And I can't wait to see it.
It's going to be some weird, cutesy little animal fucking thing just like this, dude. I know.
You should. It hits. I can't tell. Like,
I just looked this up too. It's Funko.
Which Funko has its own things, which irritates me, but that's crazy. Yeah. So though I love this and I think this is like cool and it's something that belongs on my shelf, at certain shows, this won't sell as well.
Sure.
But if you have something that looks that freaking cute, you've hit so many markets and it's
100%.
It is so crazy. I try to convince people of that all the time and they're like, no, I want to spit fire and have wings.
Start at the bottom, like, work your way up.
Yeah, make it cute. This is the one that's being shipped with the KMB. The guy took Frankenstein.
Yes.
Cutized him. And I saw that. Like, insane. I can't wait to like get that going. But if it ends up like that, hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm all about shit like that. I don't know why. Cartoons, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I need you to promise me something. You have to. I need. You got to promise me something.
What's that?
If you make something that's that cute,
I'll send you one.
No, well,
I'll send you two.
I'll buy them. Like, don't send them. I'll buy them. The thing I need you to promise: if you end up going to a show and selling that, you cannot change who you like. I need you to have a gruffy voice and sell that cute thing.
I will never change for anybody.
Good.
I try telling that people all the time. Like, you need to calm down. Like, fuck right off, dude.
Yeah,
like,
you need to get on my level.
Or I'll be in here tattooed like that girl I tattooed earlier today. Tattooed some dainty little script on her. It's like, what are you doing? You're not at work. I'm like, watch cartoons.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
That's wild. Hey, it was awesome having you guys on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Like, you're my first ones that are tattoo artists, not toy makers yet. Yeah. And so I'm pumped to have this. There are toy shows that always like want to include tattoo artists. So when I throw my own toy show, just know there's a call coming your way.
I'll be there.
And as we like do with every show, the last 10 minutes or last whatever part is so that you can plug away all the stuff, how they find you, buy stuff from you, all that stuff. So please plug away.
Cool. Well, you can find us at Toy Monster Podcast on Instagram. We're not on Facebook because I think Facebook is stupid. Yeah. You can send us hate mail at toymonster@gmail.com. We got a Discord.
Yeah. Well, Tom, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube.
All the regular places.
Yeah. You are the first artists that have ever asked for hate mail. You can.
Well, I saw that. I'm like, you hate us? Send it to us. I'm going to read that thing online, dude. You're going to hate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dude, thank you both for coming on Toys on Tap.
Yeah. Thank you, man.